ever talk to yourself? I talk to myself all the time. Mostly when I need an expert opinion.
So in high school, Scott McGuire and I went to Percy Priest Lake to this island. And on this island, there were huge cliffs. And it was our goal. We were going to park the boat at the island, scale up these cliffs, and do some cliff diving. Has anybody done cliff diving before? Okay. These were really high cliffs. And I got up there. Scott went first, right? I get up there, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I don't think I can do this. And so I start talking to myself. You got this, Perry. It's just water, right? It's not going to hurt. It's just water. You can do it. You can do it. And it's going to be over in a minute. You're going to love it. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself. Finally, I still can't convince myself to do this. Now, I'm sorry for the image I'm about to put in your mind. For extra motivation, I took my swim trunks off and threw them in the water. I didn't have a choice at this point, right? I'm going in that water. So I jumped in the water, and it was awesome. I've done the same, well, not the same thing. On really, really high dives, I didn't take my shorts off on a high dive, but you know, you think, I can do this, and you're climbing the ladder, and the higher you go, you're going, I think I can do this. And you get out to the edge of that diving board, and you look over, and you go, oh my, I don't know if I can do this or not. And you start, you have to convince yourself that, yeah, I can do it. When Liz and I got married, some of you were at our wedding ceremony, which has been called the longest wedding ceremony in the history of the world.
Amen.
But I wrote a song, and we sang it to each other in our wedding. Now, that's tricky. Okay, I'm an emotional person, and I was talking to myself a lot that day. You can do this, Barry. You can get through it. Don't break down. Don't cry. Don't cry. You can do it. And so we sang the song. She's looking me in the eye and singing these words. I'm looking at her forehead because I know if I look at her in the eye, I'm going to lose it. And as I'm singing the song, I'm thinking to myself, all right, don't lose it, Perry. Don't lose it. Don't make eye contact. Just look at her forehead. You can do this. You can get through it. You know the song. You wrote the song. You can do it. It's going to be great. Sometimes I talk to myself after a painful conversation with somebody, a conflict. Actually, I talk to myself before and after a conflict. I prepare myself. I rehearse what I'm going to say before I say it. And I think through, okay, here's the things I want to talk about. I got to make sure I say this, this, and this. And I actually practice. If I'm in my car by myself, I'm usually talking to myself, just to let you know, out loud a lot of times. I don't even know I'm doing it. I drive the road and I catch myself talking to myself out loud. Yes, I'm a little nuts, I guess. And then after the conversation, especially if it didn't go very well, and there was no resolution to the problem, I rehearse it again in my own mind, and sometimes out loud. And I say my answers again. I give my wisdom, if there is any, again, to myself. And sometimes I'll rephrase I should have said this, and I'll say it to myself. I talk to myself. I don't just talk to myself, I preach to myself. I preach to myself God's truths. And those times are usually when I'm in pain, when I'm afraid of something, when I'm nervous or anxious. I preach to myself when I'm uncomfortable, when I feel helpless or unsure, mistreated, misunderstood, confused. I preach to myself. And I preach to myself the blessings and the benefits of God. I printed up a while back and handed out to you guys a sheet that was entitled Who I Am in Christ. It just listed all these verses about our identity in Christ and who we are as the people of God. And I encourage you to take that list, to stand in front of a mirror, and talk to yourself. Now, you may not look like this guy when you talk to yourself, But I want you talking to yourself. I want you preaching to yourself. Why? There's an author. His name is Paul David Tripp. He's an author and a preacher. Listen to what he said. No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. You are in an unending conversation with yourself. If you're honest, you talk to yourself. Come on, admit it. It may not be out loud, but you talk to yourself. And you rehearse conversations that you just had, and you rehearse conversations you're going to have. And when you're in pain, you talk to yourself, you preach to yourself, and you remind yourself, you know what? God loves me. God is a good, good Father. And we have to remind ourselves of these things, because this is important, because we easily forget these things. It is so easy to forget God's love and compassion and mercy for us when we're in the middle of a terrible situation. When we're in the pit, right? The pit of trouble, the pit of pain, the pit of fear and anxiety. It is easy to forget that God is always there, and God always loves us with unending love. It's easy to forget. It's also easy to forget on the other side of the pit, when God has rescued you and made things right in your world, and everything is going just like you wanted. It couldn't be better. I mean, you're singing, and you got sunshine shining down on you, and everything is just great. It's easy to forget God in those times, because things are so good. We don't really feel that dependence on God when things are going really well. So this is important to preach to ourselves. It's important to preach to yourself when you feel dissed. Now, that's an 80s word, right? To diss somebody. But here's what I mean by that. We need to preach to ourselves when you feel dissed. When you feel discontented, disillusioned, discouraged, disenfranchised, disappointed, and dissatisfied. And you probably add a few more of your own. We've got to preach to ourselves. We talk to ourselves more than anybody else. And we're not alone. The Bible is full of examples of people who preach to themselves. And the Psalms are one of the best places to find people preaching to themselves. Now, as Eddie talked about last week, we can divide the Psalms up into really three categories. Life is good. All is well. There are Psalms about that. Psalms from that vantage point. Then there's the Psalms that are from the pit. This is when I'm down, when I'm discouraged, when I'm dissed, when the world is not right and things are not going well. And then the third category is life on the other side of the pit. Life is better again. It feels good again. I'm no longer down there. I'm up on level, stable ground, and I can sense that God is blessing me. He has pulled me up out of the pit. So we can put Psalms in one of those three categories. And today, we're going to talk about Psalm 103. Psalm 103, I think, is this third category. David wrote this psalm, and I think David is writing it because God has either pulled him out of the pit and has put him on level ground, or maybe he's in the process of pulling David up out of this pit, whatever pit he is in. We lost the specificity of a lot of our psalms. All these psalms were written with a unique situation in mind, a circumstance, a personal circumstance. But we don't really have that connection with this psalm. It's more of a general, God has rescued me, let's praise the Lord kind of psalm. So, look up your chairs. You should have a handout. And the scriptures are there on the handout. Feel free, there's a pen there too. Feel free to mark these up and write on them. And on the back is an exercise we're going to do later. So let's just turn our attention to the scriptures that are on that page. So let's read this psalm. We already read it once. We're going to kind of take it apart, okay? So verses 1 and 2. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." That's kind of David's introduction. He's talking to himself. He's preaching to himself. Bless the Lord. Who? Me. My whole being, my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength. Self, note to self. Self, bless the Lord. Don't forget to bless the Lord. This is a sticky note that David is writing to himself. Don't forget, David. Bless the Lord. And there's three reasons in this psalm, and I've got them in little boxes there, to show you how David encourages us to bless the Lord. The first thing David says is we need to bless the Lord because of his blessings and benefits. What are his blessings and benefits? Let's read verses 2 through 6 again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. I want you to notice the verbs as we go through here, okay? Forget not his benefits. Who forgives your iniquity. Who heals your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good things. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He says, God forgives all your iniquities. Don't forget it. He says, God heals all your diseases. Don't forget that. God redeems us. He redeems our life. Not only does he redeem us from the pit, he crowns us. He takes us from the depths, and he puts crowns on our heads of steadfast love and mercy. Not only that, he satisfies us with good things, and he renews our strength and our youth, so that we're now like eagles soaring high. And a lot of times people leave this one out. God works righteousness for the oppressed. He works justice. He does just acts and righteous acts for those who are oppressed, those who are in the pit. Look at those verbs. Who else can do those things? God alone. If we ended the psalm right there, that's enough reasons. Those are enough reasons to bless the Lord. You can remind yourself of those verbs and have tons of reasons to bless the Lord. But we've got to remind ourselves because it is so easy to forget. Now the next section, verses 7 through 13, he lists God's heart. And so David says, don't forget to praise God because of his heart. So let's read verses 7 through 10. He made known to Moses, his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us as according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the what? East is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. This is the heart of God. God's heart is merciful. And you can just look through the history of Israel and show how God showed mercy to Israel. And mercy is actually defined in verse 10. Look at verse 10. Here's the definition of mercy. He does not deal with us according to our sins. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. We don't get what we deserve. That is God's mercy. Where would you be right now? Think about your life. Think about your actions, your decisions. Think about your thoughts that no one else even, and your motivations that no one else knows about. If God gave you what you deserve, where would you be right now? More than one of us would say, I'd be in jail. I'd be without a family. I would not have a job. I would not have my health. Because I've done things that interferes with all those. And yet God is merciful. God is also forgiving. How much is God forgiving? As far as the what?
From the west.
And how far is that? It is infinite. God is forgiving. He removes our sins. He takes our sins, He removes them, and He forgives them forever. And where do those sins go when He removes them as far as the east is from the west? The Father God takes our sins, removes them from us, and puts them on the shoulders of Jesus as He hangs on the cross. As far as the east is from the west. That's how forgiving God is. And God is compassionate. What is compassion? Compassion is to empathize, to love tenderly with affection. As I said with the kids earlier, fathers get angry, but it's their compassion, their love, that overwhelms their anger. Compassion is a type of caring that overcomes and overpowers, prevails over anger. And God has tender affection for His people. I skipped verse 11 on purpose. Verse 11, we see steadfast love. That phrase, steadfast love, if you notice, is it occurs four times in this one psalm. Now that should be a flag right there. Ding, 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 ding. If David or any biblical writer repeats themselves over and over, there's something there. There's something to it. It's a main point. Steadfast love. Now that, in Hebrew, the word is hesed. And it is hard to define, come up with an English translation of what hesed means, because it means so many things, and it has such depth and richness. Bible translators try to interpret that Hebrew word hesed, and you may see words like gracious love, loving kindness, unfailing love, faithful love. The version you have in your hand says steadfast love and loyal love. These are all attempts to try to describe God's love for us that really is beyond definition. It says His what does it say about His steadfast love there?
It's abounding.
It's abounding. What else?
Great.
It's great.
To
those who fear Him. It is from everlasting to everlasting. These are all attempts to describe what God's love is, His hesed for His people. It also says His steadfast love is as great as high as the heavens are above the earth. How high are the heavens above the earth? Nobody knows. We try to figure it out, though. It's the Hubble telescope. You've seen pictures of this. You've seen pictures from the Hubble telescope, and they are amazing. We are seeing things we've never seen before, ever. And the Hubble telescope has found, last year, I think it was 2016, the furthest galaxy known to man in Ursa Major. This galaxy is known as GNZ-11. You ever heard of that before? Yeah, GNZ-11. It is, how far is it? It is way out there. Scientists say that this galaxy was formed 13.4 billion years ago. And if we were to travel, it would take us 32 billion light years to get from Earth to GMZ-11. Now, the Hubble telescope has brought us great advances, and we can see so far into outer space that we've never seen. But next year, the James Webb Space Telescope is going to be launched, and it is supposed to far exceed anything Hubble has done so far. How far are the heavens above the Earth? At least 32 billion light years away. Right? At least. The James Webb Telescope is going to find even... we all know, right? It's just going to keep going and going and going. How high are the heavens above the Earth? That is a description of God's love for us. And God's love is the basis for His mercy, for His forgiveness, and for His compassion. God's heart is what David says. Don't forget. Don't forget God's benefits. Don't forget God's heart. And then the last section, don't forget God's greatness. Verses 14 through 19. For He knows our frame. He knows how we're made. He remembers that we are what? Dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love, that's the fourth time right there. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him. And His righteousness to His children's children. To those who keep His covenant and remember to do His covenants. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. God is great. And God is great, especially when you compare His greatness to our finitude, our short lives. We are like grass in the field. We're like a dandelion that the wind blows and all those little seeds go flying. We are so temporary, and God is so great. He's so permanent. From everlasting to everlasting. There is no beginning. There is no end to God. There is no beginning. There is no end to God's love. He is great. He's not only great in our lives, He is, it says, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom does what? Rules over all. You could take a minute and just look through the psalm and look at how many times it uses the word all. I counted 9 times. 9 times. So there's another thing, you know, it's repeated over and over. There's something to it. All-encompassing. Love, mercy, kindness, goodness of God. And then David ends his psalm, verses 20 to 22, with another preaching to yourself moment. He says, bless the Lord, O you, His angels, you mighty ones who do His word, obeying the voice of the Lord. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers who do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is how David started the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is how he concludes the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But this time, he's not just talking to himself. Now, he's preaching to the heavenly choir. He's preaching to the heavenly hosts and the angels. He's preaching to all of God's creation, everything God has made. And he's telling them, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. David wants to join in with this mighty chorus of praise. Sometimes, when you're by yourself and you're feeling alone, it may be difficult to give God praise and to bless God. But there's something about when people come together and we praise God together, you are pulled into that. And it's so much easier to bless God and praise God. That's really what the Psalms are all about. You know, the Psalms are written by individuals, right? Like this one by David. And they're contextual. Something was going on in their lives, but somehow this private psalm made it into the songbook of Israel. And Israel came together in their worship, and they sang these songs, sometimes the whole assembly, sometimes a choir, sometimes a soloist. These were part of the worship experience of Israel. Same thing as our songs we sing today. They were written by individuals, but they're part of our hymnal, our songbook. And when we come together and we praise God together, I am lifted up higher than I was before I got here. And I remember, I recall, when I recite the blessings of God, the benefits of God, when I recall His great character, His heart, and when I think about His greatness, I'm encouraged to bless the Lord and praise the Lord even more. Do you preach to yourself? We need to preach to ourselves because it's easy to forget. When you feel overwhelmed and unworthy, preach to yourself the mercy of God. When you feel unlovely and unlovable, preach to yourself the chesed, the steadfast love of God from everlasting to everlasting. When you feel crippled by guilt and shame, preach to yourself the never-ending forgiveness of God and how far He takes away our sins. When you wonder if anyone really cares or understands you, preach to yourself the fatherly compassion of God. Preach to yourself. No one talks to yourself. No one talks to you more than you do. So preach the gospel to yourself until you can't help but join in this great cosmic chorus of praise. Preach to yourself. Now, on the back side of your sheet there, go ahead and turn that over. You see the blank pages, but I've left the categories of Psalm 103. A psalm of your name goes there. We're actually going to take a few minutes for you to write your own psalm, for you to remind yourself of reasons to bless God, to praise God. And you can use those categories that I've given you. His benefits, you can also say His blessings there. His heart or His character, and His greatness. We're going to take a few minutes, and we're going to write these out. Now, at the end of this time, you have an option. Remember I said songs were private things that ended up in the hymnal of all Israel? And it blesses us today. You have an opportunity to bless all of us by sharing what you're writing. You don't have to, but we're going to give you an opportunity to just come up here and read your psalm to us. It doesn't have to be as long as Psalm 103. It just might be a few little things. But it would be a great encouragement to the rest of us if we can hear your heart. So there's going to be a little music video playing. Josh, I don't want too loud, okay? So I'm going to give you a few minutes to work on this.